you to repeat after me. Say, this is God's word. Come on, say it like you mean it. This is God's word. Not Pastor Evans' word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, my ears are open, and I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your people. We left our houses to come to your house to hear what you have to say. And so I step back so the Spirit of God can use me to articulate the things from your word and by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do, and that is translate this Logos written word into the Rhema word so that our hearts can receive this spiritual manna and be fed from your table. Thank you in advance for signs, miracles, and wonders following our lives as we hear the word, as we receive the word, as we believe the word, and as we do the word. And I thank you that no one will leave this place spiritually unfed in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for those who are joining us online. We had over 200 and some people that are actually watching. So we do have an online audience that reaches beyond our four walls. Can you say amen to that? Amen. And so we're in a series called Noise Cancellation, Less Noise and Hear God. And the purpose of this series that we've been in is for us to hear God's voice better by removing or reducing the noise that's in us or the noise that's around us that may be competing with God's voice. Because God is speaking, the question is, are we hearing him? And so we're actually on lesson number 6. And so what I'm going to do is quickly summarize where we have been up until this point for those of you who may be listening or watching for the very first time. Our goal, of course, is to hear God's voice better. And so we've identified that there are 6 sources of voices. We have first the voice of Scripture, and that's God's word, and that's his primary way that he uses to speak to us. Then we have the voice of sin. We know that sin talks because sometimes we obey sin. Amen. And then you have the voice of the Spirit, or the voice of Spirit, and that's either the Holy Spirit or our spirit that speaks to us. And then we have the voice of Satan. We know that Satan is real. We know that he talks, and we realize that he talks through thoughts. And then number 5, we have the voice of society, and that voice is from our culture. The Bible says that we're in this world, but we're not of the world, which means that although we're in the world, the atmosphere or the culture of this world should not infect us. Say amen to that. And then finally, we talked about the voice of our soul. And our soul consists of our mind, our will, our thoughts, and how we feel. It also includes our imagination and our intellect. And this part of us, the soul part of us, talks the loudest, and we hear it the most or the more clearer, because it's that part of us that processes what's going on in us and what's going on around us. And I'm about to say something that's going to help you. If your soul is whole, your life will reflect that. Amen. But if your soul has holes or damage or pain, then your life will reflect that as well. And that's why 3 John 2, which we covered on last week, in the ASV version says, beloved, I pray that in all things, everybody say in all things, in all things that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So here's a take-home statement if you're following my notes. The condition of my soul impacts the quality of my life. I'm going to say that again. The condition of my soul impacts the quality of my life. Everybody say this with me. Say, the condition of my soul impacts the quality of my life. And so last week we learned that holes in our souls, if they stay long enough, they become strongholds. And strongholds happen when we mismanage our thought life. So here's a take-home thought. Everybody say, You and I, we must bring down thoughts, or thoughts will bring us down. I'm going to say that again. We must bring down thoughts, or thoughts will bring us down. And this is how many people may not realize they sink into depression. Because all you have to do is think about depressive things long enough, and the next thing you know, you're in depression. And let me tell you something about being in depression. Medication alone will not help you. Amen. Listen, medicine can try to chemically bring your body back into balance. But if you don't straighten your thought light out, if you don't straighten it out, you know what's going to happen? You're going to keep sinking. So we must bring down thoughts, or thoughts will bring us down. You know why I say that? Because all thoughts, everybody say all thoughts. All thoughts that come to us are not our thoughts. And that's why we must bring down what I'm going to call unauthorized thoughts from trespassing against our soul. And so last week we talked about 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5. It told us, he says, we must cast down imagination, images. That's why pornography is so powerful, because it creates images. He says we must cast down imaginations. We must cast down every high thing that exalts itself against God's word, or the knowledge of God. And then he says we must bring into captivity, here's the key, every thought, so these thoughts will obey Christ. So today, if you're taking notes, our topic is healing for the holes. Now, the last time that I was here, I told you we were going to talk about how to heal that part of our soul, because many of us have holes. And when I say holes, I'm talking about damage. I'm talking about trauma. I'm talking about pain. I'm talking about issues that have hurt us. Well, today we're going to talk about healing for the holes. And the goal of the message today is to provide us as believers with the process on how to be healed of a hole that has damaged our soul. Now, if you've ever been hurt, wronged, wounded, violated, damaged, rejected, betrayed, or any other word that causes pain or represents pain, this message is for you. So just look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you and he haven't started. So, our first point this morning as we jump into this is we must be healed for our souls to be filled. We must be healed for our souls to be filled. So here's what I want to do. I want to talk about this from a natural standpoint first. So in the natural, anytime there is an injury, there is typically a need for healing. If there's a major injury, if a person neglects that major injury, chances are that's the worst thing that a person can do. And here's the thing. As a pastor, I've actually seen people pass away prematurely because they've neglected some issues. In other words, they had an issue that they neglected, and because they did, the problem went too far and they didn't do anything about it. And so by the time they did bring attention to it, it was too late. And instead of having something that they could manage, they now needed a miracle. And unfortunately, as Christians, we tend to do the same thing when it comes to spiritual matters, when it comes to spiritual injuries, emotional injuries. We tend to ignore them or neglect them, and therefore these issues, watch this, they fester and we end up with a toxic soul. Look at your neighbor and say, is your soul toxic? Yeah. We end up with toxic souls. So many times our souls are sick, and it's been like that for a long time. So watch this, church. What is supposed to be abnormal has now become our normal. In other words, what has happened to us has now become our identity or our way of life. See, you don't realize that your reaction to to certain things, those reactions are abnormal. And that's why people are looking like, wow, I wonder what's wrong with them. The problem is that abnormal reaction from you that people see is a normal reaction from you. So it seems normal. You know why it seems normal? Because we've allowed it to sit and it has become a part of us. So what I want to do is share a story very quickly about a man in the Bible who has incorporated certain habits from the pain that he experienced in life. John chapter 5 verse 1. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. This is going to be such a good lesson. It says, afterwards, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of his Jewish holidays or holy days. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people. Everybody say crowds of sick people. Come on, say it one more time. Say crowds of sick people. That's going to be very important in just a minute. Crowds of sick people. They were blind, lame, and even paralyzed. They laid on the porches. One of the men who was lying there had been sick there for how long, church? 38 years. And when Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, watch the question that Jesus said. Jesus asked him, would you like to get well? I mean, that's a crazy question from somebody who's been sick for 38 years. Do you want to be well? That's like asking somebody who's blind, do you want to see? He says, do you want to be well? Watch his response. I can't, sir, the sick man said, for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me. Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. And instantly the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. Now, there are four things that I want us to notice about this man's life, because it kind of relates to us and where I'm going with this. The first thing is, this man was disabled for 38 years. And I believe that's some of us. We've been wrestling with some injuries for years. And some of us have gotten tired of wrestling with them, so we've just accepted them. So this man had been disabled for 38 years. Here's the second thing I want us to notice, is that the company that this man was around, his company matched his condition. If you notice, all the people that was around him were disabled. Because we tend to draw who we become. So his company matched his condition. Here's the third thing I want you to notice, is that the man put his healing, listen to this, church, in the hands of others. Yes. Jesus asked him, did he want to be healed? He said, you know what? I don't have nobody to come and help me. See, this man had put his healing, his deliverance, his wholeness, he had put it in the hands of other people. In other words, he had not taken responsibility for his own healing. And here's number four. He had developed a victim mentality. You say, well, why you say that, Pastor? See, victims justify their condition. And they do that so they don't have to take responsibility for where they are. Which now brings us to now point number two. It's going to get better. Touch your neighbor and say, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. Point number two is, healing can start. Watch this now. I'm getting ready to take a hard left on you. Healing can start when unforgiveness ends. I'm going to try to smile the rest of the message. Healing can start when unforgiveness ends. So here's the question. Why is forgiveness necessary for healing? Because you would think, why is that necessary? It's because, listen, church, God can't heal me from something that I'm unwilling to let go of. Did y'all get that? I'm going to say it again. God can't heal us from something that we are unwilling to let go of. Amen. If I am not willing to let go of whatever or whoever caused me pain, here's the question, how can God heal me from something that I won't let go of? And so the first step to forgiveness, watch this now, because that's what we're going to talk about. The first step in forgiveness is first acknowledging that someone hurt us. See, some of us, we won't even acknowledge it because we're too tough. Amen. But the problem is, most people, when it comes to, you know, acknowledging being that first step, the problem is most people stop at that first step. They stop at acknowledging. In other words, somebody hurt me. But they stop there. They camp out at Hurt City, where the person who hurts them become the mayor. So now watch this now. We're about to read a scripture that is going to help emphasize this point, because many of us in this room do not realize we are walking in unforgiveness. Watch this now. Jesus said in John chapter 20, verse 23, he says, whoever sins, you remit. They are remitted to them. But whoever sins, you retain, then they are retained. Now that word remit means to leave, to forgive, to send away, and to let go of, and watch this, I like this one, and not even discuss. He says, whoever sins, you forgive, or you send away, or whoever sins, you let go of, listen, and don't discuss, then guess what? It's remitted back to that person. Listen now, because I'm going to show you this word remit in two different verses, and then we're going to, I'm going to show you where I'm going. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 gives us this word remit. It says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, and they were casting nets into the sea, for they were fishers. Verse 19, and he, Jesus, said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Watch verse 20, because it has the word remit in it. He says, and they straightway left their nets. What did they do? They left their nets. See the word left? That's the word remit. So he's saying, listen, whoever sins you remit, they are remitted to them. In other words, whoever sins you leave, you drop, then they're remitted to them. Here's another verse, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. We're familiar with this verse, but I want to show you the variety of how this word remit is used. He says, if we confess our sin, he, God, is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us for our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word forgive there is the word remit. Amen. Now, let's go back to John chapter 20, verse 23. So we can deal with the other part of it. It says, whoever sins you remit, whoever sins you let go of, whoever sins you forgive, they are remitted, or it is left to them. And whosoever sins you retain. That word retain means to hold on to. It also means to be a master of. So whoever sins that I hold on to becomes a master of me. So I'm going to ask now my assistant Daryl to come up here, because I want to illustrate this right here. Because many people do not realize the impact of how unforgiveness is hurting them. So those weights that he have in his hand, which by the way, I don't use on a regular basis. But those weights represent sin. So it says, whoever sins I remit, it's remitted to them, which means that Daryl is gonna sin against me. Let's say Daryl lied on me. He wouldn't do this, but I'm just for illustration purposes, he lied on me. And let me see this one right here. All right, and let's say Daryl embezzled some money from me. Okay, so I have a choice, church, to live with the weight and carry it around every day. And I wonder why my life is heavy. I'm wondering why I can't forget about what Daryl did. It's because I'm carrying what he did with me. So I was fortunately, come on back up here, Daryl. Fortunately, I was taught by Pastor Eben, and he said, well, whoever sins I remit or forgive, It's remitted back to them. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I forgive Daryl. I'm not sure why he did it. But Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive him. And so guess whose sins they go back to? They go back to him. That's the power of forgiveness. But that ain't what most of us do. Here's what we do. Daryl comes and sins against me again. Hell yeah, you know, Peter said, hey, how many times do we forgive somebody? Seven times? Jesus said 70 times what? 70 times 7. So now Daryl, he sins against me, and Daryl walks off. Daryl's gone. I am stuck with what he did to me. But because what he did to me hurt me so bad, I'm not ready to forgive Daryl. Now, watch this. So now, everyday life is heavy. I'm hurting. I remember what he did because I haven't let it go. And here's the sad part. Dad left and he over there chilling. Dad at home, he's sleeping in his bed. He's enjoying his life. He's going to work. He's good. He's having a good time. But I'm over here struggling. That's three words. Struggling. Because I refuse, watch this, to remit his sins. So watch this. So now I'm walking around and the Bible says whoever sins I retain. In other words, I refuse to let go of. Guess what? They're retained to me. So can you imagine me preaching the rest of this message holding these weights? You don't have to imagine because I'm not going to do it. Those were 20-pound weights, right? So here's the question. Here's the question. How do I forgive a person when they've hurt my soul? Before I answer the question, I decided to give us, because see, some of y'all sitting here saying, well, I done forgave so-and-so. Well, let's see. Because what I'm about to give you now are some signs of forgiveness. Here is sign number one. And this is for a person who's forgiven someone. The pain that the person caused no longer controls their actions. You don't have the anger no more because you've let it go. You might remember the offense, but you no longer act out of bitterness, anger, or revenge because of it. Why? Because you've let it go. Everybody say, you got to let it go. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 31 in the New Living Translation says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each. You know why you can't be kind? Because you still holding on. He said, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ's sake has forgiven you. So one of the signs that you've forgiven is that the pain no longer controls your actions. Here's number two, is they can pray for the person sincerely. Boy, it's quiet today, boy, it's quiet. In other words, you are able to pray God's best in that person's life. You're not praying about the person. You're praying for the person. Matthew chapter 5 verse 44 tells us what we need to do. He says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. And do what? Pray for those who what? Pray for them. Don't talk about them. Here's the third one. It's going to get better. This is what happens when you're forgiven. They don't bring up or keep bringing up the offense. Bringing up or not letting go of what happened is something is one of the signs that you haven't let it go. And here's what's sad. When you continue to bring up things and not letting them go, this is going to continue to cause future conflicts because you haven't let it go. Here's number four. They don't define the person who injured them. They don't define the person by their mistake. They no longer see the person, watch this, only through the lens of what that person did. Now, some of y'all looking like, ooh, Pastor, where you come up with this stuff? Well, in this situation, I asked AI this. So y'all can't be like, who he talking about? No, no, I just asked AI. I said, AI, what are the signs of when someone has forgiven somebody? Well, AI told me they don't define the person by their mistake. They also said this person, they are open to peace even if reconciliation is not possible. The Bible says in Romans 12:18, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Here's the last thing. Well, no, here's one more. He says, they stop talking badly about the person. Now just look at somebody and say, he's talking to somebody in this room right now. They stop talking badly about the person. You no longer talk bad about them. You stop slandering them. And see, as Christians, I know us, because I've been one for a little while. See, as Christians, we get around this one by saying, but what I'm saying about them is right, though. Their actions might prove what you're saying to be true, but from God's perspective, it's not how his principles of truth works. You see, I'm only saying what they are. They are liar. They can't tell the truth. The truth ain't in them. But see, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, when you talk, when your lips are moving, church, don't say anything bad. Oh, my gosh. Don't say anything bad. But say the good things that people need. Whatever will help them grow stronger, then what you say will be a blessing to those who hear. The King James says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. In other words, my old English teacher used to say, if you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all. Here's the next one. They can wish the person well without hypocrisy. In other words, watch this. They don't have secret desires for the person to do bad. They don't have secret desires for this person to get punished. Get them, God. Proverbs 24:17 says, don't be happy when your enemy has troubles. Don't be glad when they fall. The Lord will see this and he might be upset with you and decide not to punish your enemy. Here's the last one. This is so good because it leads us to our next point. Hot dog, I got a few minutes to go. Here we go. When you have forgiven someone, you will experience inner freedom. You will literally experience a lightness. Because watch this, the weight of that person's sins have been released. Here's a take-home statement before we go to our next point. Forgiveness frees, while unforgiveness freezes. I'm gonna say that again. Forgiveness frees you, while unforgiveness freezes you. Which brings us now to our last point, and that is, you can forgive and live, or don't and you won't. I'm gonna say it again. You can forgive and live, or don't and you won't. See, church, life comes from God, and when we choose to not forgive others, watch this heavy truth, God chooses not to forgive us. Matthew chapter 6 verse 14 says, yes, if this is Jesus talking, yes, if you forgive others for the wrongs they do to you, then your Father in heaven will also forgive your wrongs. But if you don't forgive others, then your Father in heaven will not forgive the wrongs that you do. I love the Amplified version. It says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins against you," I'm adding that part, "your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, nurturing your hurt and nurturing your anger with the result that interferes with your relationship with God, then your Father will not forgive your trespasses." So here's the question. What is the advantage of not forgiving? What's the advantage? Here it is. It provides us with the feeling that we are punishing the person when in reality we're punishing ourselves. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting somebody else to die. So the advantage of unforgiving is us feeling like we're punishing the person. And you're wondering why you're not being able to hear the voice of God on a consistent basis. It's probably because you're walking in unforgiveness and you don't know that you are. So how do we apply the word today? How do we apply it? Here's the first application. You got to drop the weight. See how I chose to not preach with those weights? That's what you have to choose to do. But see, most of us, we don't drop the weight. We're carrying the weight. Listen to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4 in the Voice translation. So since we stand surrounded by all those who have gone before us, an enormous cloud of witnesses, watch this, read this with me, church. Let us drop every extra, let us do what? Let us drop the extra weight, every sin that clings to us and slackens our pace, and let us run with the endurance, the long race that is set before us. If you and I are going to hear God's voice on a regular basis, we cannot carry people's sins with us. And what happens is those sins that have created holes, regardless of what happened, because some of the things that happened to us when we were younger, we didn't have control over. The problem is, it's not you may not have had control over what happened then, but you have control over how you respond now. And those holes are going to stay there until you and I forgive, so God can fill those holes up. And so the first thing we got to do is drop the weight. Here's number two. You got to forgive right now. Yes. See, this is not one of those things where you say, "I'll think about it. I don't know. I'm not ready." Oh, so you're not ready. You're not ready to let it go yet, huh? I wonder what you're going to have to go through in your life to get you to the point for you to realize you're the person holding you back. "But Pastor, you don't know what they did to me." It don't matter what they did to you. You and I have a choice to either remit their sins or retain their sins. It's up to you. Look at your neighbor and say, "It's up to you." We got to forgive right now. Why do we need to forgive right now? We need to forgive right now so God can heal us right now. And God can't heal, church, what you are not willing to let go of. So the question is, are you ready to let it go? "Well, Pastor, you don't know what they did." It don't even, look at your neighbor and say, "It don't even matter." See, now if I drop this too high, it's going to crack this tile. Yes, it is. And Pastor Jonathan ain't going to like that, because he the one going to have to fix. So I'm giving him grace this morning. I'm just going to drop it from here. Y'all hear that, how heavy that was? I'm going to do it again. Y'all hear how heavy that was? See, that's what some of y'all need to do in the spirit. You need to drop it. Is him not paying child support? Is it that important to you? God is supplying all your need. You have no lack. He's blessing you abundantly, but why is him not paying that important to you? Okay, let me mess with the men now. Is she not letting you see your kids the way the order says, bothering you? Okay, that's not good enough. Let me see. Is your ex having cheated on you? You ain't let it go. Now you married and you got every app on your phone. You tracking your wife like she is on the show Cheaters. Look, you decided to just hold this, you know, cuss. You might as well work out. That's all you're going to get out of me right there. So here's the thing. I know I'm talking to a lot of people. Here's what we don't see. We don't see the back part of forgiveness. We don't see the peace that it brings. We don't see the blessings that it brings. We don't see that since now I've let it go, God can deal with this and them. We don't see that when I let it go, now God can heal me, because he can't heal me if I'm not willing to let it go. So I have a prayer of forgiveness that I want to walk you through today. And it's only for those who are ready. In fact, with every head bowed and every eye closed, even if you're watching me, who am I talking to this morning? Just raise your hand if you know I'm talking to you. Oh, yeah, we got quiet a bit. Mm-hmm. Huh? At least over half the room, but you can put your hand down. Mm-hmm. So I want you to repeat this prayer after me, but I want you to mean it. Father God, in Jesus' name, I come boldly to your throne because I need your help. Lord, I'm hurting, and only you completely understands that. You understand how I feel, and only you can heal me. I know that for my healing to happen, I must be willing to forgive. I must be willing to forgive the person, the people, and the situation that hurt me. So, Lord, right now, I forgive. And I just want you to say in your mind or with your mouth who the persons are. Say it right now. I want you to, because we're going to be specific today. Some of y'all got a laundry list. Well, just start with the top five. Put their names in here. Lord, I forgive so and so. Now let's finish. Say, I forgive. I forgive them. And I release them right now. Lord, you know how wrong they've done me, but I no longer will focus on that. Please forgive me for walking in unforgiveness. Cleanse me from all the stains and the residue that this pain has caused me. As I choose today to forgive them now, I thank you for forgiving me now. Make my heart flesh where it has been turned to stone. I now ask you, God, to bless everyone who I named. Bless their health. Bless the works of their hands. Bless their families. Move in their lives in such a way that it will draw them closer to you. I now ask you, Lord, for you to heal me from the pain, from the hurt, from the trauma, and all the scars from this injury. And I declare by the stripes of Jesus that I am healed. Thank you for healing me, blessing me, and making me whole in Jesus' name. Amen. Give him a hand clap for just healing you today. Thank you, Lord. But every head still bowed. If you died today and you're not sure you'd go to heaven, I want to pray for you.